Good morning. All right. Love it when a plan comes together. I just finished in traditional with not a 20 seconds to spare, huh, Brother Bill? He was going to do some jokes and juggling if I was delayed. So. Welcome to Laity Sunday. I'm Dan Davis, the lay leader, and it's my privilege to be able to bring this message today on a day in which we celebrate the ministry of our lay members, which is all of us, right? Once a month, they turn it over to the amateurs and let us have at it, and this is a day to celebrate and honor and appreciate our lay members. You were made for a purpose. I'm made for a purpose. Rick Warren, the founding pastor of Saddleback Church in California, tells us in his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, that even before the universe was created, God had you in mind, and he planned you for his purposes. Writing in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells the early Christians in verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Specifically here, Peter is comparing these Christians to those who deny belief in Jesus as the Messiah. In verse 7, he says, "The stone the builders rejected, or Jesus, has become the capstone." So he's drawing a distinction here that those who disobey the message of Christ as Savior will stumble, but those who believe in that message will prosper. Before we can consider exactly what this concept of a royal priesthood that Peter describes is, we need to better understand the Old Testament concept of priesthood. Back then, I'm sure you're aware, people couldn't approach God directly. They needed a priest to serve as the intermediary between God and sinful human beings. In the temple, there was an inner area for the priest to go on behalf of the people. But even inside that was an area known as the Holy of Holies that the priest couldn't go into. Only one person, the designated high priest, could go into this Holy of Holies and offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. And he could do this once a year on the Day of Atonement. So very much a barrier between people and God at that point. But as we all know, with Christ's victory on the cross, this entire paradigm was shifted. Jesus, through his sacrificial death and resurrection, is the great high priest. We read in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, lets us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." I think it's important to talk about exactly what is a priest here. It's more than we may consider as we see a leader of the Catholic Church in his collar. The concept of being a priest goes beyond that. A priest functions as God's representative in the world, telling people about God's word and shedding light on God's will in people's lives. A priest pronounces God's word of forgiveness and healing grace. A priest acts as the people's representative to God, essentially by interceding for the people, going to God for their sake, and offering sacrifices of love on their behalf. Essentially, a priest is anyone who has experienced the love, acceptance, and forgiveness of our God, and who helps others experience grace as well. We're very blessed here at Mandarin to have five terrific pastors. And how often do we go to them asking them to fulfill the expectations of a priest, as we've just read? If you need prayer, you're going to contact one of the pastors, right? If you need to be comforted, you're probably going to seek the comfort of a pastor. Our pastors do a terrific job here of sharing the word of God, offering intercessory prayers for us when we are in need, and helping us to experience God's grace. Let's look back to Hebrews 4:16. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Because of Jesus, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Each of us can approach the throne without an intermediary. Each of us are called to the role of priest. This concept is often referred to as the priesthood of all believers. Please join me in a brief prayer. Merciful God, be present with us today so that we can all comprehend our purpose as a royal priesthood, created and called by you to declare your praises in a world of darkness, to bring light to all. Amen. The book of 1 Peter was written by Peter primarily as an encouragement to early Christians in their suffering. About a year and a half ago, when I began my term as lay leader, I'm in the middle of a three-year term, I sat down with Pastor Debbie and said, what is a lay leader? What am I supposed to do? What are the expectations? So she gave me a description of these expectations of the lay leader role. She covered a bunch of the administrative responsibilities, what meetings I'd need to attend, what other things I would have to do, including Laity Sunday once a year. But what most resonated with me was as she was summarizing the call of a lay leader. She told me that the primary goal was to be an encourager to the members and visitors of this church. So as we reflect today on the book of 1 Peter, we can take a lot from that in our role as an encourager. Now, as the lay leader, I've had the privilege to see members of this church living out their call as a priesthood of believers. Had I not been in this role, there are many things that I wouldn't even be aware of at all. Matthew 6, 3 and 4 tells us, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. The stories I'm going to share here today are terrific examples of devoted service that people intended to do in secret. They've given me permission to share those today, but when they took on these acts of service, it wasn't for recognition. It wasn't so other people would say, look how good of a Christian that person is. They were simply rising into the role of priest, serving as God's representative in the world when they saw an opportunity. The last thing that Jesus told his disciples before he ascended into heaven was that they were to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What he meant by this was start local. Start where you have existing relationships and opportunities for influence. For most of us, that's the immediate family. That's the logical starting point. And then take that and ever-expanding influence to others. So for purposes of our discussion here today, I'm going to share an example of ministering to the immediate family, ministering within our church family, and then taking the love of Christ into the community at large. A couple of months back, a good friend of mine on a Friday night was out to dinner with his wife. They were enjoying dinner, just wrapping up, and had no plans afterwards when they received a phone call. But just as they were finishing dinner, one of his adult sons called with some tragic news. He told him that a longtime family pet, a cat, had been struck and killed by a car. Not only that, but it occurred right in front of the grandchildren. They witnessed this. So, tragic time for sure. Now, while my friend knew that his adult son was totally capable of handling that situation, he also knew that that's where he needed to be in that moment of need. So he and his wife took off over there. They arrived on the scene. They comforted the grandkids, gave them a shoulder to cry on. My friend helped his son find a proper burial spot for the cat in the backyard, went about preparing the grave, but found that an underground root system was winning. And so he was not able to dig with the shovel that he had. So off he went to Home Depot, came back with the proper implement, finished preparing the grave, sweating through his shirt the whole time on this warm summer evening, and finally prepared the resting place and lovingly laid the cat to rest. He then presided over an impromptu memorial service, allowing the kids to talk about the precious memories that they had with their cat and to know that those memories were to be cherished over the remaining years. So my friend and his wife dropped their plans for that Friday evening and immediately followed their call because they knew that it was their time to be there for their family in a time of need. A terrific example of helping others experiencing grace. Now, I've got some examples of folks helping others in our church family outside of their immediate family. Many of you may know that last October was a trying time for our church family. During the midst of the worry and sorrow, however, there were several powerful examples of the priesthood of believers. Late in the month of October, on a Thursday, Seth Seidner, who was then a high school senior, was admitted to the intensive care unit with unexplained seizures. His prognosis wasn't good, and through Friday, the doctors were not able to tell what was causing these seizures. So a prayer rally was quickly assembled over in the sanctuary that Friday evening. I watched as a steady stream of youth and adults came forward to offer their prayers for Seth and to speak about what Seth meant in their life. I'm here to tell you that during that service is when Seth's prognosis changed. The doctors can't explain it. They're surprised by his rapid improvement, but we know that it was the power of this intercessory prayer that was an important factor in his recovery. He's here this morning, just started college. I know that you know the terrific story there of his recovery. Later that evening, we learned that Sean Sorensen, a beloved sophomore with a servant's heart and an ever-present smile, had taken his own life. I happened to be working in the pumpkin patch when news began to spread. I saw youth and adults there on the patch coming along each other, alongside each other to provide comfort and support as we all grieved. Now, certainly, our pastors and youth directors immediately went to be with the Sorensen family, to let them know how loved they are and to be with them for support in an unimaginably difficult time. So the kids from the youth group were grieving and weren't sure what to do. So they began to assemble in various groups. One of those groups happened to be at our house that night. It was a group primarily of young ladies, middle school and high school girls from our church were there. We provided some snacks and did everything we could to make them comfortable just so they could be together. In the midst of great tragedy and sadness, I observed this royal priesthood as some of the older girls shared the light of Christ with the others during a very dark time. One experience of particular note was when one of the high school girls talked on the phone with Sean's girlfriend just moments after Sean's girlfriend had heard the news. I was humbled to be able to see her witness and her testimony and her love coming through in that conversation in order to share Christ's love in a dark, dark time. The power of Christ's love that she shared in that moment was overwhelming. Now, as you can imagine, that Sunday morning, as we gathered for church, was another difficult time for the youth. As they were gathering in the Sunday school hour upstairs, Pastor Debbie knew that they needed extra care and attention on that day in particular. So she wanted to be sure that they were cared for. As she wrapped up her responsibilities at the 9:45 service, she went upstairs. Upon her arrival, she found that a member of our church, who is a licensed mental health counselor, had volunteered and was already up there speaking with the youth, letting them know what they may feel in the coming days, how they might deal with that sorrow and grief, how they may have some strategies to cope with the stages of grief as those continued, and answering any questions that they had. He felt called to use his professional experience to share with a hurting group. In that moment, he was indeed a priest, functioning as God's representative in this world and this church community. As we talk about opportunities to serve in the broader community, you're probably familiar with our fresh expressions here at Mandarin. We've got a couple well-known and very popular ones, Kayaking with Jeff and Beer and Hymns. You may not be aware of one that was lesser known. I contend that's because it occurred on Thursday mornings at 6:20 a.m. And who's up at that time, right? But this was the bus stop ministry that was a fresh expression. If you're not familiar with a fresh expression, it's our opportunity to take the church out into the community. There are many people who, for whatever reason in their life, their past experience or their opinion of church folk, won't step onto a church campus. So a fresh expression is intended to take the church out into the community to share the love of Christ in this world. Our bus stop ministry team consisted of a pastor, some church staff, and some lay members. They would rise early every Thursday and go to the bus stop down here at Marvin Road, 6:20 in the morning, to take the church to those rush hour bus riders. Over the course of this ministry, the team built relationships with the regular riders who would see them from week to week. You can imagine there was probably some apprehension at first among the riders. Who are you and what are you doing here? But they formed relationships and built friendships. And over that time, they were able to pray for the express needs of these new friends and even were in a position to provide assistance to several homeless people and others with need. Along the way, the bus stop ministers themselves formed a terrific relationship and drew closer together, allowing them to serve together at whatever their next calling may be. So these are just a few of the countless examples of members of our church serving as they are called, as part of the priesthood of all believers. The opportunities are all around us. I wonder where each of us are called to be priest among the priesthood of believers. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for those assembled here today. We ask you to please be present with us as we discern your purpose for our lives, Lord, so that we may find that and serve that and to build your kingdom here on earth and here in Mandarin. Lord, we thank you for the bountiful gifts that you've provided as we've explored recently the Enneagram results and see how we are each formed differently, but all for your purpose, your unique purpose for each of our lives. So we're grateful for that. We're grateful for these terrific examples of service, of priesthood. We thank you for our pastors, and just thank you so much for the work that you're doing here at Mandarin and in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.